This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferrett.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. Coming up later, we'll take a look at the new national job numbers out today and why Wisconsin found itself toward the bottom of the list.
First, last night, the U.S. women's national soccer team beat Nigeria in the Women's World Cup. That puts the team in first place in Group D. They'll head to the first match of the knockout stage on Monday in Edmonton.
The Women's World Cup is drawing millions of viewers around the world, more than any women's sport in the world. But our next guest says once the World Cup is over, the excitement about women's soccer will subside and the sport will again sink into obscurity.
Andre Markovitz is back with us to talk about the Women's World Cup and why women's sports aren't more popular. He's a professor of political science and German studies at the University of Michigan in Ann Arbor, and he's the co-author of Offside, Soccer and American Exceptionalism, and Sportista, Female Fandom in the United States. Andy, welcome back to the show.
Thanks, Rob. Delighted to be back, and also hello to Veronica.
Well, let's start with this Women's World Cup. This went from nothing to a big deal in a relatively short period of time. How did that happen?
It's events. These are major things. Above all driven by national identification, and Jerry Seinfeld so beautifully called laundry. Basically, people root for whatever it says on front of the jersey, in this case USA or Canada or Germany or whatever. And this has become a huge event. I don't know last night's data, but the Sweden game last Friday garnered 4.4 million viewers on Fox. I mean, that's huge. And I actually would love to see how yesterday's game stacked up against game six of the NBA Finals. Obviously, I'm sure it was much less, but still, I'm sure it did very well. And it's everything to do with, you and the two of you and me and everybody else following a wonderful event, wanting our women to win. I actually have my doubts and fears, but that's a different topic. And, and basically this has very little to do with the general popularity of women's soccer, meaning following of the national Women's Soccer League, NWSL. I'm sure most of you listeners don't even know this league with its nine teams. So what I'm saying here is that there is a huge gap between this massive event, which is followed, which is these players are, we see them as great athletes that they are, and we are very passionate about them, but that is a different story from being passionate about soccer.
Why do you separate the two? Why separate people's feelings about women's soccer and the massive popularity of the Women's World Cup going on right now?
Well, because very simple, because the U.S.-Sweden game garners 4.4 million people, and a match between, let's say, the Portland Thorns and the Western New York Flash, doesn't even make it on television. And if it does, its viewership is minuscule. It's just not registered. I'm not making it a qualitative issue. It's just a question of what, in fact, is registered in terms of greater attention. You are having me on precisely because of the World Cup, not because of a regular season soccer game. So it's not, I don't make a distinction in terms of the sport or the validity of the, I'm just making a distinction of how much, what a different thing this is. By the way, not only in the United States, the same in Europe. I follow the German media very closely. It's huge. The German team, by the way, I think will win the cup. They're very, very strong. Huge event. The minute the World Cup is over, the women's game completely recedes in terms of attention, and it doesn't come close to what the men's game is.
So looking long-term trends, let's step outside of soccer now to women's sports in general. Do you see a growing interest in women's sports outside of these big international events, the Olympics and World Cup, or are we more or less where we were a decade, two decades ago?
No, no, we're not where we are. First of all, we're not what we are 2 decades ago, and we're certainly not what we were where we were 4 decades ago. I mean, just look at how many women's sports are now completely part, are completely accepted. At my own University of Michigan in 1970, I think there was literally not one varsity athlete. Now it's almost 50%, and the same at your University of Wisconsin. So clearly we're miles away. I mean, the first World Cup in 1991 was held in China in the middle of, or at the end of November. It was almost an embarrassment for FIFA. They almost hid it. It was completely not on anyone's radar. By 1999, it becomes huge. To this day, by the way, the largest event attended by women was the women's final between the United States and China. So clearly, amazing transition. But what these sports are not is that they are not daily fare of constant obsession, of talk, of discussion, of worry, as are these what I have called hegemonic sports, the big four in the United States, namely football, basketball, baseball, and hockey, and soccer in the rest of the world, although not everywhere, but in other countries, some countries it's cricket and some rugby games. But these are cultures which are daily. I mean, I just before going on with you, I heard the news about Bart Starr. I mean, Bart Starr has not played in decades, but yet, of course, he is an icon not only in Wisconsin but in all of the United States. And this is very different in terms of women's team sports, not individual sports. Certainly women's tennis players have the equivalent star power and people are talking about them. But of course it's also easier for tennis players because they have 4 grand slams every year. Women's soccer players play once every 4 years to the same audience. Very, very difficult.
We're talking right now with Andre Markovitz. He's the author of Sportista, Female Fandom in the United States. We're talking about the Women's World Cup and women's sports in general. And Andy, why do you think that is, that we have these smash hit things like the World Cup and it doesn't transform itself into a fan base that's regular and steady for women's sports or women's soccer in this case?
Well, you have to give it time. The men have been at it for 130, 140 years. The women for, even if we call the World Cup, it's basically 25. So give it some time. But ultimately, I actually think that what is at issue here is that following sports or sports consumption has a very different valence, has a very different importance to men as it is for women. To put it crudely, for men, it is the most important lingua franca. It is the language that the CEO and the janitor have, and that is absolutely part of their male identity. It's in fact beyond religion, which is a taboo. It's certainly the salaries of what you make is taboo. Politics you don't talk about, but you talk sports. And sports is absolutely an integral part of what it means to be this. This is just not the case for women. Women are, if you will, much more multilingual. They talk about other things, and they follow a team, they love a team, they are completely identified with the team, but it's less in terms of its history, in terms of its larger comparative analyses, in terms of its obsessing with various statistics. So I'm of course talking about the norm. I'm not talking about the ESPN journalists who of course are completely in this, the female journalists or obviously people there are women who are completely as behaving like your most obsessed sports nerd, but I'm just talking about the average behavior. And to women, this is less important. To men, it is very important.
So, Andy, does this mean that a female market of fans isn't going to drive the success of women's sports?
I think it's, yes, partly, absolutely. I think it needs both. It needs men and women. And in fact, we know that in tennis it has that. And it clearly has that for the World Cup. Men watch this game. It really needs both. It will not be just carried by women alone.
What do you think it will take in terms of time? You said give it a little bit of time. Given that, what else needs to go into that equation to build the women's sports base?
You mean the women's fan base?
Right.
Well, the women's fan base on some level is, of course, perfectly fine and healthy. If you look, the NFL, something like 40% of the NFL's fan base is female. You can go to any NFL game and you see all kinds of items tailored to the female fan. But clearly, the female fan watches and sees something different than the male fan. It's a different language to them, okay? And this means that certainly you can have, in terms of consumption, you can have women following these sports. But for them to become daily fair, basically sports talk radio, a long-term interest about what happens to the Western New York Flash. Whom should they trade? Whom should they not trade? Why the coach is an idiot? Why he should play so or she should play so-and-so more up front rather than in the middle? Why should she be playing a 4-4-3 rather than a 4? Okay, as long as this is not an obsessive kind of real part of women's culture, they will consume the sport differently, which means that it will be much more event and team-driven rather than, if you will, a sort of abstraction, a form of which has nothing to do with the teams per se, but a kind of history and numbers and things like that, which is so essential to men's discourse of sports.
We're talking right now to Andre Markovitz. He's the author of Sportista, Female Fandom in the United States, talking about women's sports and the Women's World Cup.
And we're taking your calls at 800-642-1234. Are you watching? Are you following the Women's World Cup? Do you watch women's sports or a particular women's sport in general? Why? Why not? Why do you think they're not more popular? What would it take to get you more interested in women's sports? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page.
We're picking up our discussion now with sports expert Andre Markovitz about why women's sports aren't more popular.
And you can join in at 800-642-1234. What would it take to get you into women's sports? Is there a women's sport that you follow? What is it? What makes the difference? Are you rooting for Team USA in the Women's World Cup? After it's over, are you going to check out women's professional soccer in the country? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or post on the Central Time Facebook page. Andy, before we go to calls, I mean, there's a new generation of soccer players, many girls playing soccer. I'm raising two of them. We're being begged for Alex Morgan jerseys. Megan Rapinoe's coming up now. We may need to get one of those. Are those fans of the future who are maybe going to be more into the women's game, maybe drive it success as a sport outside of the World Cup?
I hope so. I hope so. Absolutely. That makes a huge, huge difference. Although, just because one plays a sport, I think you said something very important, that they're not only, your girls, they're not only are playing soccer, because they've been playing actually since the 1990s. In fact, very few countries have more organized soccer players than the United States, half of whom have always been girls or young women, but that they, in fact, now have their heroes. So there's a big difference between doing a sport and following a sport. We do many, many, many sports. In fact, virtually all Olympic sports are actually performed, but we don't follow them. Very few of us follow a shot put or the 100-meter butterfly or on and on. These are quadrennial things, and we're rooting for them and watching them because, again, it says USA on their jerseys or on their swim trunks or whatever. We don't really follow it the way we do these four team sports that are part of our daily culture. And for that to happen, you need identifiers. And I think what I'm most encouraged by is that your daughters do want a Megan Rapinoe or an Alex Morgan T-shirt. That is the key thing here. Not only that they're playing soccer, but that they, in fact, are now following soccer.
We're going to go to our callers now. We've got Jared on the line in Madison. Hi, Jared.
Hi, how's it going?
Good, thanks.
So, regarding women's sports, I absolutely would love to follow it. I watch UW women's hockey occasionally, but it does get really boring, and it's upsetting that their rules are not on par with the men's. And regarding hockey, women aren't allowed to check each other, and I like watching hockey, and I like the physical activity in the game, not only the skill, but being able to watch them slam up against the boards and everything, and it, the disparity between the men's game and the women's game, it's off-putting. And I think that actually is a factor that plays into a lot of why we can't get into it.
Jared, thanks a lot for that call. And Andy, I know that's something you've thought a bit about too, whether athleticism matches women's sports and men's sports.
Yeah, I would have. I'd like to follow up on what the caller said. I would just advise him to really put on different glasses. I actually am also one of those rare people. I love women's college, women's hockey. I'm still crushed by the U.S., long puck that actually hit the goalpost, and our women did not win the gold against Canada. But you're watching it in a different way. I don't see it as, so I actually do not look for checking. I enjoyed when I watched the Women's World Cup, and I've been to three Women's World Cups. I followed the U.S. team in 2011 in Germany. I do not compare it to when I watch my beloved Manchester United, because that's actually unfair. Now, I understand that many people, and above all men, do. And this, of course, a priori makes women's sports just not as exciting or not as challenging and so on and so forth. I would just like to point out that, I bet that the caller does not feel the same about watching Serena Williams. And yet Serena Williams also is not the equivalent of a top 15, top 20 male player. The point is that once we would get used to watching women's sports, like, for instance, women's volleyball, very few people know that the net is actually much lower for the women. Still, it's immensely exciting. So I don't think that is the issue. The issue is ultimately, that we got to get used to it, that men also follow it some and on its own terms, and that ultimately women really become almost they become men in terms of their passion for women's sports, which they don't have yet. That's the point. In other words, really feel it, feeling for it, really following, really calling up sports radio, obsessing about why this trade was made or not made. That's, I think, the main thing, and I'm not sure whether women will ever do this for maybe probably very good reasons, because ultimately this is not so important in life. And so you can have all kinds of reasons why this may not happen. As long as it's completely made out of free volition, I have no problem with this, because there's no inherent virtue to being sports obsessed. In fact, as we see now in soccer in Europe on the male side, it has horrible downsides to it, that obsession leads to kind of partisanship that is way beyond anything, terrible racism, on and on and on, which actually the women's game does not have. So whenever I went to Women's World Cup, I loved it, because in fact it was about the sport, and it didn't have, horrible, Nazi slogans, all this horrible stuff that is part of the men's game.
We're talking
because of the passion.
We're talking women's sports with Andy Markovitz. We'll go back to our callers with Jamie in Green Bay. Jamie, hi, you're on the air.
Hi. I say this with a lot of hesitation because I'm all about women and women power and feminism, but I have to say, as a female, with a few exceptions, like maybe volleyball, softball, tennis, I prefer watching men play sports, especially when it comes to things like basketball, football. These powder puff leagues happening, or these lingerie football leagues. Of course, I have no need for that at all. I don't know about men, but I don't know what it is, but I prefer it, and I almost even prefer male sportscasters, especially in something like football. I get why they do it. I get that they want a female sportscaster in front of the TV, in front of the microphone. But I and like I said, it's hard for me to say it, but it's as a female, I still prefer it.
All right, Jamie, thanks for the call. Is that an obstacle for women's sports leagues, Andy? Even women, in some cases here, prefer male sports.
I don't want to tout my own book, but for your last caller, she should read and fits in perfectly into my book, Sportista. Meaning, what is Sportista? Sportistas are those few women who actually have completely assumed male characteristics in terms of their sport following. Namely, they're obsessed, they follow, and indeed they are seen as sort of odd by not only men, but actually also women. And that in fact, what your last caller did was really confirm our chapter 3, which looks at your normal American, or actually not only American, also West European sport, female sports fan who actually follows it, but follows the men's sports more because she is more used to it and because it has some cultural meaning to her. If I say, Green Bay Packers, that invokes an entire world of history, of meaning, of smells, of power, of all kinds of immense dimensions in Wisconsin, but also across the country, that women's sports don't have yet. Now, whether they will or not, I don't know. It certainly won't happen in my lifetime, and let's say I have another 20 good years, but it could easily happen in your daughters when they're adults. If, in fact, to them, sports is as important as it was to you, Rob, and to me. And this is unclear. Certainly, it's not clear whether to young girls, even though they love to be Alex Morgan or Megan Rapinoe, but whether they, in fact, it becomes so salient to their identity. To women, this is a choice. They can or cannot. To men in advanced industrial societies, and actually even beyond that, this actually almost was not a choice. It was, in fact, this is what identified you as male.
And we leave it there. Andy, thanks a lot for joining us.
Thank you very much for having me.
That was Andre Markovitz, professor of political science at the University of Michigan, Ann Arbor. He's also the co-author of Sportista, Female Fandom in the United States. He was with us to talk about women's sports.